The epistle appointed for the third Sunday of Lent is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians chapter 5. Brethren, be ye followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you, as becometh saints, nor obscenity, nor foolish talking, nor scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know you this, and understand, that no fornicator, or unclean, or covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. And the gospel appointed for the Mass. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others, tempting, asked him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest. And not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in, they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the breasts that sustained thee. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things are in peace which he possesseth. Words taken from the gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Gregory the Great was Pope between the years 590 and 604. Before he became Pope, he was the religious superior of a monastery. He tells about a religious who for a long time had been a good member of his community. At one point, though, this particular man developed a very strong desire to leave the monastery and return to the world. The man claimed that God did not want him to be in the monastery. Now, this is a very important matter. You see, God calls everyone to a specific vocation, either to the married state, the religious state, or the single state. And the life to which God calls a person is the best way for him to save his soul. It is nearly impossible for a person to save his soul unless he enters that state to which God calls him. St. Gregory knew this. And being a holy and a wise superior, he was also convinced that God wanted this particular man to be a religious. He was well qualified for it, and he lived as a good religious for quite some time. St. Gregory realized that the man was being tempted, so he said to him, My friend, it is the devil who is angry, because you may be able to save your soul. Fight against him, he advised. But no, the man continued to believe that God wanted him to leave. So St. Gregory gave his permission. As the man got ready to go, St. Gregory went to pray. And before the tabernacle, he begged God to show that poor religious, that man, that it was the devil, in fact, who wanted to make him lose his soul by leaving the monastery. God answered his prayer. The man had barely stepped out the door when he was attacked by a huge dragon. You see, God had made the devil visible so that the man could see how the devil was attacking his soul by temptation. The man, of course, was frightened half to death, and he screamed and called out for help. The other members of the community came running and found him lying on the ground, half dead. They carried him back inside, where he recovered. And then at last he realized that it was, in fact, the devil who was tempting him, and who was bursting with rage because St. Gregory had prayed and exposed his evil plan. And we should learn from this, my dear friends, to have a healthy fear of not recognizing the devil's temptations. And we shall never recognize them unless we ask God to help us do so. This is an appropriate topic for this Sunday. Lent is especially a time to repair the past and provide for the future. In the past, we have made mistakes. We have fallen, we have sinned, and we will not avoid similar falls in the future unless we are well aware of the devil's trickery and the way in which he tempts us. On the first Sunday of Lent, we read about temptation in the Gospel. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, allowed Satan to tempt him. He did so to teach us about our own temptations and to show us how to overcome them. Our Lord was on guard. He had been fasting and praying. When temptation came, he instantly rejected the devil's suggestions. We must do the same. And prayer and fasting strengthen us for the victory. Therefore, the Church prescribes prayer and fasting during Lent. In today's Gospel, the lesson is continued. A man was brought to our Lord who was possessed by a devil. The man was unable to speak. Our Lord, because he was God, because he is God, knew that the man was possessed and that the devil was keeping him from speaking. Having compassion on him, our Lord used his divine power to cast out the devil. After this had been done, the man was tremendously relieved and he was able to speak normally. No doubt he was filled with great gratitude. Our Lord used the occasion for instruction. He pointed out that when the devil goes out of a man, he prowls about restlessly, the devil that is. He decides to return to his former house, to the person he formerly tempted, to see if he can find entrance again. He finds his former home clean and decorated. Finding no obstruction, he enters, bringing with him seven other devils more wicked than himself. They dwell there. And as our Lord says, the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And you might wonder why it is that the devil is even interested in us. Why does he seek our damnation? He does so because he knows the great value of our soul. Every soul he can destroy is a victory against God. The devil carries the torments of hell about with him wherever he goes. But he seeks relief by destroying souls. It gratifies his passion for vengeance and hatred. And so when he is cast out of a soul, he writhes, he squirms like a snake under this humiliation. But he never gives up hope of regaining his prey. He watches, he waits. He gets other devils to help him. He prepares a terrible assault, using all his cunning and deception. And against him, the poor soul does not stand a chance unless it is always on the watch and well armed for combat. Unfortunately, many souls are not on guard. As our Savior says, the devil returns and finds them swept and garnished. That is, by repentance and a good confession, sin has been swept away. The soul has been cleansed. The soul is garnished. It is decorated and made beautiful with sanctifying grace. But that is all. No precautions, no defense, no arms, no weapons. Satan makes his attack, and there is no resistance. The wicked spirits enter in, and they dwell there. And the last state is worse than the first, because the soul's enemies are increased. My dear friends, if we are to gain the victory, then we must do more than simply confess our sins. We must watch, we must pray. We must be alert and watch so that we recognize bad thoughts and suggestions as coming from the devil. Unless we recognize temptation, we will not resist it. We also must pray. We are weak spiritually. Satan is much more powerful and cunning than we are. And we will not resist the attraction of evil without the help of God's grace. He who prays is no longer alone. Prayer attracts the help and power of Almighty God, God's almighty power. Many souls are in hell today because they did not pray. If they would have prayed much and prayed well while they were on this earth, they would not now be in eternal fire. They would have had the strength to live, or at least to die, in God's grace. He who prays is saved. He who does not pray does not need the devil to drag him to hell. He goes there by himself because of the very fact that he does not pray. Prayer is as necessary to us as water is to the fish, and the fish dies out of the water. You should thus pray at certain times. For example, in the morning, at night, pray the daily rosary. But we are bound to pray in times of temptation. In a moment, I will give you some examples of common temptation. In Scripture, God commands us to pray always. Now, he is not referring to vocal prayer. It doesn't mean we have to always be whispering a prayer or moving our lips. What God means is that we are always to do his will and to be united with him by our intentions, our intention to please him in all that we do. Everything you do, your whole life, can become a prayer, as long as you are trying at every moment to fulfill the duties of your state in life and doing them to please God. God gives you those duties. He is pleased when you do them for his sake. And by doing so, you are praying. If you seek always to please God, you are united with him, you are praying perfectly. And he will help you to recognize temptation and overcome it. Many people have no clue what temptation is. Some even say, and with great confidence, that if the devil ever tempted them, they would reject him instantly. Now, perhaps they would if they realized they were being tempted. Meanwhile, they give in to temptation continually, every single day. They wouldn't do so if they gave the devil his due and recognized temptation for what it is. The devil is no fool. The devil hides himself. He disguises his temptations. He tempts most people without them even realizing it. Now, if we knew that a thought or a suggestion came from him, we would certainly resist it. But many people do what the devil urges because they think that the bad thought or desire comes from themselves. They think that they are merely giving in to their own passions or weakness. The devil tempts us continually in nearly everything that we do. At one time, he tempts us by pride, by vanity. Another time, by the good opinion that we think others should have of us. At another time, to jealousy, to criticism, to hatred, or to revenge. When we are tired and weary, he tempts us to neglect our duties. He tempts us to laziness. He tempts us to impatience and anger. If the devil can't get us to commit big sins, he tries to get us to commit habits of little sins by neglecting our duties. The tiniest little sins. If he can't get us to do big things, he will get us to do little things and lead us from little things into bigger things. At times, the devil comes to us with the foulest and most impure images. Even in our prayers, he can distract us by bringing pictures and thoughts before our imagination. And yet we must not be discouraged by this. Remember, temptation is not sin. It becomes sin only if we expose ourselves to it voluntarily, if we take pleasure in it, or if we give in to it without resistance. Our will is free. The devil cannot force our consent. He begs for it, like a dog that he is. But if we ask for God's help, God gives us all the graces that we need. Now, all the saints have been tempted. They became saints by resisting and by faithfully loving and serving God in the midst of temptation, but without giving in to temptation. Our Lord even permitted himself to be tempted. Temptation serves a useful purpose. It keeps us humble. It gives us the opportunity to merit. It gives glory to God when we call upon him. So when you become aware of temptation, any unholy thought or desire, the first thing to do is to say a little prayer, anything simple and spontaneous. Help me, Mother Mary. Jesus, I love you. Help me to do what is right, to do the work that you have given me. The next thing to do is to try to do the opposite of what you feel tempted or urged to do. When you feel proud, indignant, or angry, humble yourself before God. In his eyes, you are a poor sinner, and yet he still loves you. Refrain from expressing the unholy passion or emotion that you feel. In that way, you resist temptation. And if a thought or desire comes against the holy virtue of purity, we must then mortify our body and our senses and turn our thoughts to something else, together with prayer. If we are tempted to skip our prayers, then we should add to them instead and try to say them with greater attention. That's the same way to deal with the temptation not to say the daily rosary. Resist that temptation, say it more slowly and more devoutly than usual. The temptations we must fear the most are those that we are not aware of, those that we do not recognize as temptation. God will protect you from these if you pray often and pray fervently. I especially recommend praying devoutly to the Blessed Virgin Mary in times of trial and temptation. She has God's almighty power at her disposal, and she loves to use it for our benefit. And when Satan sees us calling upon her, he flees instantly. She has humbled him and crushed his head, and he is not going to stick around and let her do it again. She is immaculate and sinless. Satan never had power over her, but she has been given great power over him. She humiliates him, and this is one thing that his pride cannot tolerate. Angels, even fallen angels, are far superior to men. Imagine then the greatest of the angels, Lucifer, being beaten by a lowly human, and worse than that, by a woman. No wonder he flees. Love this dear mother. Pray to her often and trustfully. She will break the devil's disguise. She will help you to recognize his temptations. She will help you to practice the opposite virtue and thus gain many victories. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.